Ben is going to tell us a bit about what he's been up to and what God's been teaching him. Oh, and we'll work that up for you, mate. Oh, Andy's on the job. Yeah, it's been really cool to have Ben back, and I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with his stories on the Instagram and what he's been up to overseas, but tonight he's going to share a bit about that and a few other things, eh, Ben? So why don't we reach out our hands and pray for Ben, and then he can let it rip. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Ben, and thanks for his willingness to share tonight, Lord. We just want to join with him and pray that, you anoint these words, Lord, that you will bring them out freely, Lord, that you'll bless Ben as he's bringing them tonight, and that we'll all be moved closer to you through these words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's see if I remember how to speak into a mic. The reason I say that is because I've been in Canada and I've been at a camp, so I've been speaking into a mic every single night, and due to the worship that just happened, my voice is pretty cooked. But so, just a little introduction. My name is Benjamin Wallace. I am son of Shaney and Ross over there. I have three siblings, nearly forgot. One's Laura at the back there, Stephanie, and then Josh. I was kind of thinking about what I've been processing through myself over the last kind of couple years and more recently. And the statement or the question was, who am I? And I'm sure a lot of us have probably asked ourselves that question. It's a pretty big one, and I think we all probably go through life and we ask ourselves that a couple of times. So I was like, okay, God, so I'm going to speak about who, like kind of like that statement, who am I? But give me like one line. And I'm sitting there on the couch and God said, this is what he said to me. And it was like so firm. And the line was this: who am I to stand in the way of his grace? So I was kind of like, whoa, okay. Because over the last couple of years, God has been really undoing the religion in me. Over the past couple of years, I've traveled and basically, since going to Canada back in 2016, God has really just been shutting down things from, I guess, like the past that I never really saw or I never really looked at. And the first thing was this need to reach a bar, this like imaginary bar that I had to reach, and this thing that I was aiming towards, and this thing that I felt was perfection, and this thing that I felt was a need to be the best, and it also came out of a place of the pressure from my family. So I'm not saying that it was pressure from my family, but it was created from me, that I had to be the best, I had to be perfect, I had to aim to be something that was what I knew wasn't true. And so for me, growing up with an older sister who I knew like a lot of people her age, so she kind of, I felt, if you don't mind me saying this, Laura always was kind of like, oh yeah, like Ben, yeah, you know so many people. And that was kind of a big thing. I was like, I knew a lot of people. And then with my skateboarding and my athletic stuff, I had, you know, younger sister who was like super stoked on that and who was really encouraging and saw the best in me. And then also a little brother who I felt looked up to me as well. So all these things added up to me feeling like I had to equate to something that was unattainable and unreachable. And at some point, I think for me, it was such a weight, such a burden to think that something that was so unattainable was something that I believed if my family knew who I was or what I had done or the things that I had thought of, they wouldn't be proud of me and they wouldn't look at me the same because they don't know what's going on inside and they don't know the internal confusion that I was going through. Not only that, I think I also felt that from friends, but more so it was just this family perspective. So in February this year, I had to think about that, I got a tattoo of a cross, which may seem very simple, you know, why do you get a cross tattoo? Because of what Jesus did. So this is my cross tattoo. I like to think it's pretty awesome, pretty beautiful. But when I got it, I was kind of like, you know, why am I getting a cross? The cross to me is, it's a beautiful mess. And I always put more emphasis on the fact that it was a mess. So what I mean by that is that It's beautiful what Jesus did, but it's a mess that we put him there, that I put him there. The things that I struggle with are the reason that he's there. The reason that he died is because I continue to walk away from him. Why did I get the design I got? The flowers are something beautiful. They, to me, meant that there was growth, that there was something new, that there was something good, that Jesus was the reason. Jesus was like the beauty in it. But I still looked at the way that I had messed up and the way that I had fallen and the way I had continually put him there daily. So this past summer, which was our winter in Canada, it's obviously different, Northern Hemisphere, I was a part of the ministry team at a camp. So we were a team that were called staff coaches. And what that means is that we're just there to kind of encourage and lift up and walk with the staff that are at the camp in the summer, which is 350 kind of plus. It's usually about 350 around there. So there's quite a few. So we have a solid team. And basically, I just want to share a story of a day that we met. So at the end of each week, we meet and there's these prayer requests. And we just pray through all these prayer requests. And sometimes they have like a little checkbox and it will say like, you know, tick, they want to meet up with a staff coach. So it seems very easy to do. 350 staff didn't seem like it was that hard of a task. So I look at my thing and it said in the name, I could hardly read it. I was kind of like, do you know what this is? And my friend was like, Davis, cool. 350 people, there's a Davis, but I think there was like a few Davises. So I'm going, okay, I don't really know this guy, but I was sure that I was going to go and see him. I was just going to leave and I was going to go to the office and I was going to look up in the database that and find who this guy was. I was going to find a photo of him. So that was the plan. I left the meeting and I didn't do that. And a week went by and I came back and I'm sitting there with the team. And Mike and Tina, who were like the head of our ministry team, they come to me and they're like, oh, hey, did you meet with that guy? And I was like, yeah. I was like super like, so in this moment, I was like embarrassed and ashamed. I was like, flip. I just brushed past him and kind of said hi, and we're going to meet up later on for like a 3-hour conversation or something. And they were like, oh, good. And anyways, in that moment that I told this little lie, I just felt so convicted. So later on, I went to them at the end of the meeting and I said, hey, I need to ask for your forgiveness because I didn't meet up with him and I completely lied to you guys and the team. And they were like, cool. And I was like, cool. Oh, okay. Like, can you guys pray through this with me? Like, you know, it's just like a small lie, you know, like it's something, you know, I've told small lies in my past and I know they never equate to anything good. And they're like, yeah, cool. So we pray and we end and they're like, yeah, so we think you need to take that to the whole team because, you know, you didn't just lie to us, you lied to them. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. So I decided that they were like, you got two options. You can go to each individual or you can say it to the whole team. So that day was like my day off that later on. And the time basically wouldn't work out that I could meet with everybody individually. So I was just like, I'm just going to do it to the team. So a couple of days later, we all meet. We all have lunch on a Wednesday. And I'm sitting there and we're all talking about things that have gone great in the week. And I'm like, man, here I am like having to bust out like this apology and ask for forgiveness. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, hey guys, like I need to apologize. Like earlier on in the week, I actually lied and I didn't actually meet up with that guy. And I really feel like I need to share that with you. And they were like, it was kind of like, oh, cool, thanks for your honesty, you know, like, thank you for that. And in that moment, I felt as though, I've got a few tattoos, so I literally felt like God was tattooing grace across my heart, and I was, like, overwhelmed, and I was, like, burning, and I was like, what the heck, like, oh my gosh. So I just kind of let that pass for a little bit, and I was like, man, I've got this off my chest. I'm like, oh, man, that was nervous. I was kind of like, it was a bit scary, because, you know, you're confessing that you've just done something kind of stupid, and kind of, you know, dumb. And so I go to the bathroom, and as you do, you know, you got these old Mike and Tina have this like box of prayer cards, not prayer cards, they're just cards with Bible verses on them. And I just like, oh cool, I'm gonna grab a couple of those. So I'm sitting down on the toilet and I like lean back and I grab a couple, and the first thing that I saw, and I was like, whoa, okay, that's epic. The first one was Proverbs 16:9, and I have that tattooed on my legs. And the verse says this: in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So first off, I was just like, whoa, that's weird. Like, I got this verse. And the second verse was this, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Whew. I was just sitting there on the toilet like, whoa! Like, I was honestly so keen to just bolt out of there. I was like ready to go straight to my cantina. Like, I'm not kidding. I couldn't have gotten out of there faster. I went straight to my cantina. I was like, hey guys, check out this. This is super cool. Like, and I was just feeling like pumped. I was overwhelmed with like grace. And I was like, man, like, God just spoke to me through that. And he was like, you know, not only did he show me his grace in that moment, but he also showed me that, you know, in this verse, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Like, I can plan things, but sometimes I'm going to fall short of that plan. And I'm actually going to do things that might look dishonorable. And through that dishonor, God's going to show me his grace. And I was just like, heck yes. Oh, I was so pumped. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I ran out of the bathroom so quickly. So, I've got another story. Recently, yeah, flush, yeah. There was somebody that didn't ever flush in there, but that wasn't me. So, recently, I did a trip. After I was in Canada, after the summer, I did a trip across the states from Toronto through a bunch of states to LA with Josh, wherever he is at the back there. So we were on our way to Lake Tahoe, and God gave me this revelation that kind of like rolls into this kind of theme. And this is what it said. The revelation was this: when we focus on our imperfections, we rob ourselves of the freedom and the holiness God calls us to through his grace. I was just like, Josh, get my phone out. I want to record that. Like, I quickly, like, I was like, I want to remember that so I can write it down. So I got to wherever we're going, Lake Tahoe, and I wrote that down. And what I noticed is that I actually read a verse in Leviticus, Leviticus 26, 13b, and it says this: I broke the yoke of slavery from your neck so you can walk with your heads held high. And I was like, man, what does that mean? What does that look like to hold our heads high? Like, do we, you know, we are Christians, we are born again, we call on the name of Jesus, we walk through life, but are we walking with our heads high? Or are we walking through life with our tail between our legs like a dog that's like skimpering away from a mad owner? Like, when we focus on our imperfections, we rob ourselves of the freedom and the holiness God calls us to through his grace. When we got to Lake Tahoe, we were lucky enough to stay in a really nice place because mum and dad hooked us up. And I got some time alone just to chill and just to sit and just think about all of these things that I'd been learning. And I felt like God was leading me to the Gospel of Mark. And I sat there and I read the death of Jesus, just the account. And I've never been so moved. I sat and I wept and I was so renewed with this thankfulness for not only what Jesus did, but what he finished there and then at the cross. I sat there overwhelmed about, you know, kind of almost like I had ripped Jesus off. And I know it's all a part of a journey, but all of a sudden these experiences that I have are making me see why God gave me that one line. Who am I to stand in the way of his grace? So, you know, with that being said, as I sat there and I wept and I thought about the things, you know, of what Jesus had did and what he had finished, it reminded me of a verse, John 10:10. It says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So when I think of that, I think of, I definitely don't think of, you know, walking with our heads low and walking condemned or walking in shame. I think of a life that is called by God, that is set apart, that is great, you know, that when we do fall, we can pick ourselves up, we can actually look up to God and go, God, you know what, in this moment, you know, I know I have messed up, but I'm going to repent. I'm going to see myself the way that you see me. I'm going to walk with my head held high because I know that you call me to your grace. You call me to walk in that grace. So with that, I'd been kind of sitting on in Leviticus again, and this is something that really caught my eye. And this is what it says. Leviticus 20, verse 7 and verse 8, it says this. So set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. So, I mean, for me, like, and all that I've been, like, processing through with who I am and how I view, you know, my life and how I view the ways that I mess up and the way that I walk in my life, I want to walk knowing that I'm not only saved by God's grace, but I'm actually called by it too. So whatever I go into, I can walk with my head held high and knowing that God has actually put me there for a reason. So the way I sat in this verse, these verses, and I felt like God was saying, you know, like, so set yourselves apart to be holy. Like, let's believe that as Christians, we are called to be set apart. Like, literally set apart from all other people, we are set apart. For I am the Lord your God. Let's be reminded that He is our God, like personal God. Not just our God, He is a personal God that we actually get to hang out with, we get to do church with, we get to do life with, we get to do quiet times with. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. So let's spend time with Him each day and believe that He will do the rest. Like, He's the one who makes us holy. He's the one. Not us. Not anything that we do. So to bring it back to my tattoo, I kind of felt like when I got this tattoo to now and kind of over the trip that I had, I felt like this new meaning had kind of come about. I've seen a lot of things like online where people kind of write things like flawed but still worthy, or, you know, sinner but still called, or, you know, and these things. And I'm like, I felt like when I was looking at the cross and when I was looking at it in the sense that, you know, this is a beautiful mess, like, I just want to think of the beauty. Like, I don't want to go, you know, like, I'm not claiming, like, I'm a sinner or I have fallen. Like, I don't want to do that first. Like, if I'm going to do that, let me do it last. Let me go, man, Jesus is so good, but, you know, I don't believe, I've come to see that the more that I affiliate or the more that I label myself with the things where I have messed up in the past or in my weaknesses, the more that I do that, the more that I actually stumble, the more I actually have this religious mindset where I have to, like, strive and I have to be better. And I believe that what I've come to learn is that our holiness is not gained by our efforts, just as our works do not add to our holiness. You know, I've talked about this with a few people, and some people kind of are like, whoa, Kick, what the heck? You can't really call yourself holy or righteous or... And it might be like, but I read that and I'm like, are you kidding? So set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. Like, God is going to make us holy, so why not start believing it now? So a few things that have really helped me is just this. Yeah, let go and surrender all that we have done and weakness at the feet of Jesus. Let go of all that calls us unworthy and accept and walk in our true identity, set apart, holy and righteous. So, before these all fall off, who am I to stand in the way of His grace? It's tough. I'm stoked. Just over the last couple of years, I definitely have seen so much freedom in my life. And if I can say one thing is that, you know, actually speaking these things over my life, I've actually seen a difference, you know. Like, we do fall and we do mess up. But God has shown me that, you know, when I don't focus on those things, when I don't focus on the ways that I trip up, when I just focus on Him, I'm so much more better off. And that doesn't mean just going to Him when I'm like down, when I'm feeling like lonely, when I'm like, it means, you know, going to Him every single day. It means actually building a relationship with Him. I feel free. I'm stoked. Like, life is so good when we just open ourselves up, you know, we confess all that we have done to Jesus and actually decide to walk in the true identity that He calls us to. So, thank you for having me. Do you mind if I just pray? Come on. Lord God, we just thank You that we can come here tonight. Father, we just thank You that, You are our God and You want a relationship with us. Papa, I just pray that Your presence would come, Lord God, that You would open us up to revelation, Lord, that we would see ourselves for the way that You see us, Lord God, that we wouldn't walk with our heads hung low, Lord God, but we would see ourselves the way You see us, Lord, that when we trip up, we wouldn't let us get in the way of what You were doing in our lives, Lord God, that we would step up, we would step forward, and we would walk in Your grace, Lord, that we would not only speak of how we are saved, but we would speak of Your grace, Lord, that we would walk in Your grace and realize that You are calling us to grace each and every day. Doesn't matter how much we stuff up, we can walk in Your grace, and through Your grace, Lord, we can bring people to Your grace, Father. I just pray a blessing over this church. I pray for blessing over Raglan. I just pray that Your presence would be felt tonight and every night to come. In Jesus' name, amen.